Okay, William, here it is. I've got the next story of Igglypuff stranded on Earth. Well, I left you with Dr. Clem Goodlight and Igglypuff sitting in his truck out on his driveway first thing in the morning, and they just made it back to his house in Skedaddle, and boy, were they tired. After all, driving all 1,000 miles from Wyoming, having run out of gas, hanging out on the road for hours and hours till they were rescued by GP, and then finally making it home just after the sun rose, oh, they were tired. And boy, I'll tell you, Dr. Goodlight would love a cup of coffee. Well, they sat there. And then Clem looked at Igglypuff, and he said, "Igglypuff, buddy, welcome home." Igglypuff looked at him and said, "Home? Huh?" Well, his communicobobulator was working a lot better. But he looked at this little house, and it was had rose bushes out front, and it had flowers, and it had trees. It had a cedar tree on one side, and a Douglas fir on the other. There were trees in the back. This was nothing like any house he'd ever seen, because of Jenkalapalala, they don't have houses like that. They have huge buildings, and everybody lives together. So Clem said, "Yep, gotta see the family." Well, just at that moment, boom! The front door burst open, and out ran two little girls. "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy!" And they were followed by a little boy, a littler boy, and he was going, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy!" Oh, they rushed out to see their father, and then behind them came a taller woman, and she was carrying a little baby, Bambino, and he was going, "Dada, dada, dada, dada!" Oh, my goodness, they were all happy to see their daddy. Because he went out fishing every year. He loved fishing. But when he came home, oh, were they glad to see him. They came running out to the car, started jumping up and down, and then they spotted Igglypuff. They stopped. And then one of the girls looked at Clem and said, "Who's that?" And the other girl said, "Who's that?" Then the little kid said, "Hey, who are you?" Then the tall woman came up and peered in and gave Clem a kiss right on the mouth. Now, this was kind of amazing to Igglypuff, because after all, in Jenkalapalala, people don't really stick their nose mouths together. They do other things, but not that. It was like, ooh. Then she looked at Igglypuff. She looked back at Clem. Now, she knew that Dr. Goodlight had a tendency to bring strange things home, strange people. He liked to collect people and collect things, and he was good, but this was it. She'd never... So she looked at him and said very politely, "Well, how do you do? Welcome to our home. Would you like to come in and have some coffee? It's first thing in the morning, and breakfast is cooking." Igglypuff looked at her, eyes wide, and said, because his communicobobulator had been working overtime, "Thank you, ma'am." And then he couldn't help it. He went, which what in Jenkalapalala was, "You are so kind, good light lady. I just wish everybody were as kind as you." But his communicobobulator at that point decided not to translate that. So then Clem said, "Come on out, buddy. Meet my family." And he climbed out of the car. And Igglypuff had figured out how to use the door at this point. And he climbed out. He had his big Stetson hat on. But when he climbed out, his Stetson hat was knocked off. And all his wriggle tentacles were wriggling in the air. And all the kids went, "Ooh," and Clem's wife said, "Oh," and Clem didn't even mind. He said, "Let me introduce you to the family, big guy. Look, this is my lovely wife. She's the darling of my heart, the light of my life, and I love her no end. This is Shui Huang Goodlight." Mrs. Goodlight looked at him. "Well, you can call me Shui," she said, "just Shui." And she took his hand and she shook it. And Igglypuff, being a very polite crown prince of Jenkalapalala, bowed very lowly, and then he took his head up. Of course, when he bowed, all his little wriggly tentacles were almost in her face, and she was going, "Ooh," but she was very good, and he lifted his head, and which was, "I am so very pleased to meet the lovely wife of my dear friend Clem Goodlight." At that point, his communicobobulator got the message and said it in English. And she blushed and said, "Well, thank you very much." And Clem then looked at the little boy in her arms. And he said, here's my son. He's Buster. He's crawling around. He's going to be big no time." And then he took the two little girls and said, "These here are my twins. This twin is Ming Li Goodlight, and the other twin is Ling Mi. And they're just peas in a pod. I can't tell them apart half the time." The two little girls giggled. And then he took the little 5-year-old and he said, and here's my other son, Clem Jr. But I call him Little Clem. Otherwise, you couldn't tell which was which, Clem and Little Clem. And that's us, just my wife and my 4 kids and me. Oh, and don't forget the dog, Maxie. And at that point, out sprang the dog. Well, the dog was a beautiful golden retriever, reddish hair, bouncing in the light. He came barking out, woof, 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 tail wagging, woof, 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 jumping up and down, woof, 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 and stopped and looked at Igglypop. And Igglypop said, alien creature, wolf, because that's what he'd seen driving through the mountains were wolves and foxes and things like that. And Clem just laughed and said, no, that's our dog, Maxie. Come here, Maxie. And Maxie jumped into his arm. Oh, it was one happy family. And Clem looked around and said, hey, we shouldn't be standing out here in the street. Let's go in and get some coffee and we'll get some bacon and eggs. It'll be wonderful. And he brought them all in for breakfast. Well, I can tell you, Shui Goodlight was a very good cook. And she has, no sooner than said, she had some scrambled eggs going, she had some bacon going, she started some pancakes for the kids, she poured out some orange juice, she had some coffee going, and she said, please sit down. And then she had Clem, have a seat, Clem. And then she sat down across from him. They all poured a cup of coffee. The two of them drank their coffee, real quiet. The kids were sitting there, looking with their eyes big as saucers, looking at Igglypop, thinking, who is this guy? Where did Dad find him? What is this? Finally, Shui Goodlight put down her cup of coffee, and she looked at Clem. Said, Clem, my darling, Clem, light of my heart, who is this? And Clem said, oh, this is Igglypop. He's Igglyopteron Uberoperon, and he's the crown prince of the Jinkalapalala kingdom. His wife looked like he had been going crazy. She said, Clem, have you been drinking on the way home? I told you never to be drinking and driving. I hope you haven't been drinking. Let me smell your breath. Clem said, nonsense, I haven't been drinking. You know that. But this is a good buddy friend of mine, and let me tell you the story. So he sat down, and he told them the whole story. Well, meanwhile, Igglypop had all this stuff. He had coffee. He'd never tasted coffee. He took a couple of his wriggly tentacles and he stuck them in the cup of coffee. The children looked at him. Ling Mi said, Ming Li, what is he doing? Ming Li said, I have no idea. He's putting his hair on his coffee. And he sat and he sucked and it was hot. Oh, it was hot. It was bitter. It was dark. But all of a sudden, that caffeine hit his brain. It was like Sparkles on July 4th. And all of a sudden, his eyes perked open. Boing! Hey! Woo! Oh! And he felt like he'd been asleep. He was awake. Whoa! This is kind of good. So then he tried some orange juice. And that was sweet and sticky, but ooh, that tasted great. He really liked that. And then he looked at his bacon and eggs. He took his mouth, nose, and he, ooh, I wonder what that is. And so he took the bacon and eggs, and you know what he did? Oh, yes, you do. You know what he did. He put it into his dissolvable pouch to dissolve it up so he could eat it. That's what Ming Li and Ling Mi looked at him. And little Clem Jr. said, Mister, what are you doing? You're putting it down your pants. Igglypop looked at him, and his communicabobular said, Don't worry, strange alien. I'm eating. And then he dipped his tentacles into his hungry pouch, his digestive pouch, and he, bacon and eggs, ooh, good, I like being here, and he ate it all down. Meanwhile, the kids were sitting, listening, eating their pancakes, and listening to their dad tell all about the spaceship come crashing down, and then crashing into the ground, and then Igglypop coming out, and how they became the best of friends, and then how they had to get out of there because the park ranger was looking at his spaceship kind of funny, and how he'd put it in the truck, and his old good old friend Buddy Lottobus had taken it up and taken it to Washington Gumption University, and then they drove home, and then they ran out of gas, and they were sitting there on the road, and then this one kid, nice kid too, he's a graduate student at the university, he came up and gave them all his gas, and they made it home, lickety-split. Oh, I'm so happy to be home. I can't believe it. I can't sleep 100 years. And his wife said, well, Clem, sounds like you have had a ride. And she looked at Igglypop, and she said, well, Igglypop, good sir, you are the first alien I have ever met. Iggy Pop said, woo, 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 which was, thank you very much. You're a pretty cool alien person, too. His communicator didn't say anything. It's been getting diplomatic. And then Clem said, oh, I got to take a nap. But we got to show Iggy Pop where he's going to sleep. So what they did was they did this. They took Clem Jr. and threw him out of his room. Said, Clem, good old buddy boy, you ain't slipping there now. You're going to go in and you're going to sleep with little Buster. So they made him go in and lie with Mr. Buster, take his sleeping bag and put it on the floor next to Mr. Little Buster's crib. And then they said to Igglypop, Igglypop, Mr. Oberon, you can lie down on this bed and you can have a nice sleep. Well, Igglypop looked at the bed. Well, remember, he's 7 feet long. His bed was 5 feet long. So where was he going to put his head? Where was he going to put his feet? But he was too polite to say no. And he lay down in the bed and he fell fast asleep. Well, that was nice. They closed the door. Then Shui looked at Clem and said, Clem, are you crazy? What are you doing? Why did you bring him here? And Clem said, well, he had no place else to go. He crash landed. We got to fix his spaceship. Then they got the call. Ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Clem's phone went off. Ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. What's that? Clem said, oh, who's this? Well, it was Buddy Lottobus. And Buddy Lottobus had his truck parked outside the maintenance garage at Washington-Gumption University. And he said, Clem, Dr. Goodlight, I got to tell you right now, I'm in a big lot of trouble. You got to get down there and help me out because they aren't going to let me put anything in their maintenance garage. They don't have a warrant for it. They don't have any paperwork. They don't have any signatures. They don't have any documentation. And they're telling me I got to get off the property because they got something else coming in and I'm in the way. And Clem said, oh, buddy, 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 my buddy, I'll be right there. Well, Shui said, you could get some sleep. And Clem said, I don't have time to sleep. I've got to go. So he jumped into his bedroom and he pulled off his old fishing clothes and he put on at least some decent pants, some blue jeans, and a decent shirt. He got a clean hat. He put it on his head. He washed his face, brushed his teeth, said, I'll do the best I can. Oh, Shui was good. You know what she did? She gave him a thermos coffee. She said, listen, on your way to the university, you drink this up. It'll keep you going. Clem went out, got into his battered old truck, backed out and took off. Well, he drove to the university as fast as he could, meanwhile drinking two cups of coffee straight in a row. And that was pretty good because it helped him straighten his ears out and his hair and his eyebrows, and everything all of a sudden looked like he was awake, though he really wasn't awake. He drove past his own offices at the university, drove out to the maintenance garage. And there in front of the maintenance garage was Buddy Lottobus, and he had his long truck. And then he was arguing. He was arguing with the head of maintenance, Wally Mongoose. And so Clem drove up, parked his truck, climbed out, and said, hey, good buddy, Wally, what's the problem? Wally Mongoose looked at him and said, what are you doing here, Dr. Goodlight? And Clem said, well, I'm just here to, you know, see what's going on. I thought maybe you could park this RV inside for me while I get it worked on. And Wally Mongoose said, I have no paperwork. There's no order here. There's no work order for me to take this whatever you have in that truck. And I it's a liability. I could be sued. I could be told I was stolen it. Something could be wrong. I'm not taking it. Clem said, oh, come on. Come on. You can do it just for me, just for a couple of days. I just need it. It's a friend of mine. He had an experimental RV. It broke down. We just need to fix it and get it out of here. And I can't park it in my house. You know that. I mean, my garage has turned into a little gymnasium for the kids. You know that. We got to park out in the front of the house. Come on. Can we just park it here, please? Old Wally Mongoose said, no, not on my life. Oh, well, what can I say? Well, you know, this was a little to-do, and the two men were outside, and they were talking kind of loud. Oh, talking kind of loud. Hey, what's going on? And Wally Mongoose's assistant, Junior Bailiwick, was listening. And Junior said, there's a fight going on. I wonder what this is all about. So he walked out to join the fray. And he said, oh, Dr. Goodlight, here you are. Wally, what's going on? Wally Mongoose said, hey, Dr. Goodlight wants us to take an RV. Can you believe it? An RV and put it in our maintenance garage. We can't do that. That's not right. And Junior said, well, I suppose we should take a look at it. And Clem said, no. Junior said, maybe, you know, it's not that big. We could put it over in the back, you know, behind the boats. We got a little room there. We could put in the boats and we could stick it there. If he's just got to fix it, maybe it's, you know, maybe it just needs a water pump, you know, or something like that, or the radiator. And Clem said, yeah, it's not going to take too long. It's a problem with the engine. We just got to get the engine ready. And Wally said, okay, well, let's take a look at it, see how big it is. So they walked around the back of Buddy Lauterbus's truck. And if you remember, Buddy Lauterbus had just barely gotten his back doors closed. And he had a super long truck. It was a big truck. And the space cruiser was a small one. It was just a little, it was basically a kid's space cruiser, you know. It was for Igglypop, who turned 87, which is really like 18. And so it was his first, it wasn't big. But to them, Buddy Lauterbus opened the back door, clunked it open, pulled it wide, and oh, they all gasped. Oh my golly, said Wally Mongoose. What is that? Junior Bailiwick said, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. This is crazy, man. And he pulled out his iPhone. He started taking pictures. And then he sent them around to a couple of his friends in the maintenance garage, saying, you've got to have a look at this. Well, when Clem Goodlight saw him taking pictures, he said, stop, don't do that. This is an experimental RV. You can't. It's copyrighted, trademarked, and everything. Stop that. And he grabbed the iPhone out of Junior Bailiwick's hand. Junior said, give that back to me, Dr. Goodlight. Dr. Goodlight said, heck no. I'll give it when we take care of this. Now, see here, Wally, we got to put this in your garage. It's experimental. Well, they were looking at the spaceship. And the spaceship, as I told you, had looked a little like a sea cucumber. So what you really want to do is go Google sea cucumbers. And you'll see there were protuberances all around it. And those were all the sensors that the space cruiser used and that the robot engines used to sense when they were in light channel. And it looked really like nothing else they'd ever seen. And Wally said, how does this thing drive? Yeah, how does this thing drive? And he said, well, you know, I think it's like a part air. It floats a little off the air. I said, experimental. They looked at the skids. Well, when the space cruiser lands, it drops down some skids, you know, and it just skids across the ground because, well, in Jacalapalala, the Janakapalala, they don't have mountains and stones and things like that that mess it up. But oh, some of the skids were rumpled. But it's well, what's that? Where are the wheels? How are you gonna? What? We can't take this. Wally Mongoose stood up. Well, Junior Bailiwick said, I don't think this is going to fit behind the boats. Well, just at that moment, a couple of other maintenance people showed up. Oh, my goodness, that text had gotten around, and it was getting some mighty, mighty interest. And here came one guy from the boat division, another guy from the airplane division. And Dr. Goodlight said, hey, maybe we could put it in an airplane hangar. And the guy from the airplane hangar looked at it, took one look, and said, oh, no, that's not going to my garage. And then a couple of the robot people came by because, after all, they were on the list and they had gotten the text and they wanted to come and see this crazy RV. And with them was Solomon Cuttlefish. Solomon Cuttlefish took a look and he looked at it. He came up, he came walking up and said, Dr. Goodlight, how are you doing? Dr. Goodlight said, Solomon, my buddy, how are you doing? Look, I got this crazy RV, and the driver said there's robots in there controlling the engine, and, oh, maybe you'd like to take care of a look at it. Solomon looked at it and said, robots, did you say? Well, that's very interesting. Well, wouldn't you know it, at that moment, just at that very moment, driving by the maintenance shed was a battered old Jeep. Well, who was driving it but our friend Jeepy? And Jeepy looked down and saw Dr. Goodlight's truck. And he said, oh, that's, I know him. Oh, hey, that's my good old buddy, Dr. Goodlight. We got to see if he got home. And he drove up to the maintenance shed. And he ran out with his recorder and his digital camera. And you know Jeepy. And he walked up and he said, hey, Clem, how you doing? Now, I misspoke when he said Dr. Goodlight. Because you remember, Jeepy saw him standing there with all the maintenance men. And he wasn't wearing fancy clothes. He had some blue jeans and a shirt and a hat. And it was really easy to think that he was just one of the maintenance guys, joshing with Wally Mongoose, you know, chatter-ratting with Junior. And so he walked up and said, Clem, hey, good to see you again. I see you got home. And Clem looked up and said, oh, it's the grad student, Gustav, right? Yeah, call me Jeepy. Oh, glad to see you. How's that other guy you were with? Oh, well, I dropped him off. He's asleep now. He's doing okay. Then Jeepy walked around behind the truck, and he looked in, and he said, oh, my golly, what is that? And Clem said, oh, that's just an RV. It's an RV that we're going to have to work on because the engines is broke. And Jeepy said, that's no RV. That looks more like a space cruiser to me. And all the maintenance crew said, huh, space cruiser? And then he looked at Clem. He said, Clem, now, That fella you were with the other night, he was awful big for a human. You sure he wasn't a space alien? Well, this is the last thing Clem needed to get out. And he said, no, no, no. And then GP picked up his camera to take pictures. And Clem jumped in front of him and said, no, wait, this is experimental. You can't take pictures. Give me that camera. And he wrestled it out of GP's hands. And then GP tried to turn on his microphone. And he said, no, give me that. And he grabbed the microphone out of his hands. And he was holding the two of them, looking at GP. Well, he knew that GP knew. And GP knew that Clem knew. And they looked at each other and stared each other down. And then GP started. And he said, okay, all right. You know what I am. I'm an ethnojournalist, right? And Clem said, yes, I do. And so GP said, I tell you what. You let me come and talk to that buddy of yours and see where he's from or what his story is, and I'll cease and desist. But man, oh man, that is some big, beautiful ship. Clem said, okay, you have me over a barrel. You can do that, but you're going to have to do it later. And then he looked at Wally and said, okay, Wally, I got to put this in the garage. Can I do it now? And Wally said, no, that's not going to my garage. And then the guy from the aircraft said, no, that's not going in the hangar. And the guy from the boat division said, no, we got boats coming in every day. You can't put that in. And then guess who stepped forward? Guess who came forward and said, you can put it in my garage? It was Solomon Cuttlefish. Solomon said, you know, I think I have room in my garage for that. It's an extra, as you know, I have my all my tools and my workbench and everything in the garage. But I think if we push those back, it's an extra long garage because of all the stuff I have. So I think it'll fit. And robots, you say? It's got robots? Clem said, well, I think it has robots. I think the fellow I met who was driving it said the engine was run with robots. So maybe they're little servo motors, you know, that do what you have to do. Solomon said, very interesting. Then GP said, robot? Robot? What robot? And Clem looked at him and said, no, don't worry. It's little servo motors. You don't have to worry about... And then GP thought, robots? I know a robot. Maybe the robot I know can talk to the robots in there. Clem said, no, it's okay. We'll deal with this ourselves. Solomon thought, maybe he's right. So Solomon walked up to GP and said, young man, my name is Solomon Cuttlefish, and I work in the piezoelectronic neurology department, and glad to meet you. And Gustav Panier shook his hand and said, I'm Gustav Panier. I'm a graduate student in ethnojournalism, and I'm glad to meet you, or you can call me Jeepy, because I always drive a Jeep. He thought he was so cool saying that. And Solomon Cuttlefish said, well, good to meet you, sir. And I have to ask you, if you would just keep this quiet for a little bit, as a journalist, you understand, sometimes you have to sit in a story, because there are some things here that we need to figure out, and it wouldn't do to have this get out. But I tell you what, if you keep quiet on it, when you go interview the feller that came home with Clem Goodlight, then I'll tell you what, I'll give you an interview of what I find on this RV. Well, GP was never one to turn down an interview. He said, okay, it's a deal, nothing out of my mouth. Well, you know, there's one thing I got to say about Gustav Panier. When he says he'll do something, he does it. And he didn't mention a thing about this for longer than he wanted. But in the end, it worked out. Then Solomon told Clem, okay, Clem, take it to my house. And he looked at Buddy Lottobus and he said, Buddy, here's my address. And he took his iPhone, he held it up to Buddy's iPhone, and they exchanged addresses. Buddy got his GPS out and said, oh, I know where that is. And then Solomon Cuttlefish looked at Wally and said, Wally, I got it covered. Don't worry about it. Thanks for being good enough to let us park out in front of your garage. But you know what? Mum's the word, okay? And Junior, no more texts from you. Well, Junior, who was a little bit young and a little impetuous, but he really respected Solomon Cuttlefish. He said, yes, sir, Mr. Cuttlefish. Yes, sir, no more. So Solomon said, good. Then he looked at Buddy Lottobus. And he said, tell you what, Buddy, you go to my house. I'll follow you there. I'll tell my wife it's okay. We'll put it in, then I'll come back to work. And then he looked at Clem. And he said, Clem, you look like you have gone without sleep for like 2 days. And Dr. Goodlight looked at him and said, I haven't had any sleep in 2 days. That's correct. And Clem said, you go home, get some shut-eye, we'll take care of it. You know where I live? And Dr. Goodlight said, I have no idea. So Clem held his phone up, and they exchanged addresses, and then Dr. Goodlight said, I'll do it. And they both looked at GP and said, GP, you understand? Mouth closed? GP said, aye, aye, sir. And where can I find you? Can I come back here to the to the maintenance shed? Is this where you do you have an office in here? Is that right? Solomon Cuttlefish looked at Dr. Goodlight. Dr. Goodlight looked at Dr. Solomon Cuttlefish. And they went, huh? What? And then Mr. Cuttlefish, Solomon Cuttlefish, looked at GP and he said, No. You want to go to the Department of Astrophysics. Dr. Goodlight here is the chairman. And then GP looked at him and his eyes went wide and he said, Dr. Clem Goodlight? And Dr. Goodlight said, yes, as a matter of fact. And then GP started to smack himself. Well, he didn't smack himself, but he wanted to because he said, oh no, what have I done? Oh, I've insulted the most famous man in the university. Oh no. But they all shook friends and they were all hands. All friends after that, they shook hands. And then GP drove off. Clem looked at Solomon, said, Solomon, I'm really pleased. I really thank you. This is the greatest favor. Solomon just said, hey, I just want to meet this friend of yours. I think it'd be very interesting. And Clem said, you are able to. Then he shook hands with Wally and Junior, said, thank you very much. He got in his battered truck, and he drove home. And when he got home, it was the middle of the day. The kids were out of the playground playing. Buster was in his bed taking a nap. Shui was just working on the computer. And Clem came in, and she looked up. She said, all taken care of? And Clem said, yes. And Shui said, good. Now go take a nap. And he did. And he was asleep before his head hit the pillow. And that, my dear William, is the end of today's story. How the space cruiser got stashed. And next story, I'll tell you how it got fixed. Well, I probably won't get that far, but I'll get close to it. And guess who's going to do some fixing on the spaceship? Think about it. You might guess. Good night, little William. Give your sister Lauren a hug. Hug your mama and dada. Have a wonderful sleep. I'll talk to you again.